Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, yet he can do nothing to save himself.
From bronchitis, that's right.
He's sick tonight. And as I say, always funny. Always funny when a doctor
It's funny, I had a guy come up to me at the hospital and was like, oh, my God, you're sick. Oh, that's so funny, though.
Well, you know, it's the fire chief's house burning down.
That's what I said.
Once in a while when the chief of police has to go do time, gets bussed for something, gets thrown in the joint. Yeah. That's what it is. AFI is our guest tonight. Jade, is it Puget?
That's correct. Good job. Oh, my God. You're the first person to ever pronounce that right.
Yeah.
They put some, like, French flavor. Puget.
Puget.
Like,
and Adam Carson is in here tonight. And then we're going to rotate the band.
You got the
other band members.
You got the good guys, the cool guys here already.
So it's the cool section.
These guys.
Yeah.
Don't worry about them.
Yeah.
That's the AAA team in there. Okay. We got the pros already, you know.
Yeah, well, you guys made the show. Those guys are just your bat boys. Big buzz around the band. Got all the people from the station in here. Had the folks out front wanting them to sign stuff. Got the new CD. You're doing a signing tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At midnight.
So
look at the goddamn peanut gallery.
I know we never have more than six people.
Hey, peanut gallery.
No, more than three people really.
Yeah.
In there,
and two of those are usually not breathing.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny they don't breathe in there, but once in a while I see them laughing, and I think, oh, they're finally growing on to the Ace Man. Then I know they're watching Fawlty Towers on PBS
John
TV
Cleese.
Or something. Yeah, they're not big fans of mine over there, but they enjoy TV.
This is like being on like the set of Cheers or Seinfeld all of a sudden after listening for so long and all of a sudden being in this room.
It's got to be weird.
Yeah, it's a little scary.
It's a letdown, though. I'm sorry.
Is this surreal at all?
Yeah, because I've been watching for so long. It's like watching a show like Cheers, and all of a sudden you're like sitting in the bar, and there's like an arm, and you're like, oh, okay.
Now, I mean, I guess you knew what we looked like.
Yeah.
Because I've seen us in other places. But the studio, disappointing, right?
I expected like this wood paneling and this like plush carpets. But yeah. I'm not disappointed. But
you really must not be a regular listener if you've not heard him complaining about this.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, never heard that. This is kind of like a dank little cavern.
Yeah, clay so don't get him going. Oh my God,
I feel you, dude. I totally feel you.
All right. Well, I want to give a plug out to the band.
Thanks.
For tonight. But where are you guys going to be at midnight?
We at the Tower Records on Sunset in Hollywood.
Oh, that is right on. Is that on? Oh yeah, right in the middle of Sunset Strip, pretty much.
Yep, pretty much.
And so the record goes, or the CD goes on sale on Tuesday, but technically it'll be
tonight.
Tuesday at 12:01 tonight, and the band will be there. So they're just going to hang out for the first hour, right?
Yeah.
Or as long as it takes you to get there. Good.
Yeah. So has it already gone platinum? Isn't that how they do this in the record business?
It's
not
gone,
us.
It hasn't gone on sale yet. Already.
It hasn't gone on sale yet, but it's already gold.
It's
double gold.
Plastic.
They've shipped platinum already.
We ship pewter, so, you know.
I would just tell my record company, just go ahead and ship it. I don't care if they want it or not.
Well, then you get the little plaque, and then you're
set. Yeah, ship it to my garage. Doesn't matter. Let's just ship platinum.
They got to get the distributors to buy it, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying, we'll ship them, and you just keep them, and if you can sell them, great. If not, you ship them back, but we shipped platinum, and
think,
that's that you went on a technicality.
They buy records and destroy them.
Oh, really?
I've heard like these stories, like, which I think some of them are true. They buy, you know, tens of thousands of records and just throw them away. So they get the sound scan.
The Nazis did this with books, Drew.
But to get the book sales up.
It was
up,
different.
Yeah.
It didn't have to do with their publicist. It was. I'll explain it to you one day. All right, let's take some calls and we'll hear something from AFI and all that stuff.
And we have to switch at the half because the guys are going out to the signing.
Right. Melissa?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been with my boyfriend for about 6.5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And normally we have regular sex 2-3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And about a year ago, he was involved in a wreck for work, and he injured his lower back.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 weeks ago, he had lower back surgery, and they removed the disc, and they corrected the problem.
How many discs?
I believe they removed half the discs and bone fragments that were embedded.
half a discs.
Discs.
Yeah, and they replaced it with.
Don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And for the whole year, we've been having problems because it hurt his back to have sex.
All right.
He couldn't get his. Oh, hurt his back.
Yeah.
But
that should be a question we ask when we're trying to determine whether somebody's just malingering or opiate addicted or really have legitimate back injury.
But did he have trouble with his penises?
No, not that. It was just the movement, the jarring. It was just painful to the back.
Backs, okay.
And now that the surgery's is done and he's recuperated,
mm-hmm.
whenever he can't have sex now because he says that whenever it's time to orgasm, his whole lower part, it hurts. Excruciating pain.
Has he told his surgeon about this?
He's kind of mentioned it, but he doesn't want to say anything.
Why?
He's very embarrassed.
Look, then you got to go in there with him and talk about this, because the surgeon needs to know about this. Does he have any trouble holding his urine or his stool or anything like that?
No, not at all.
Right.
That's why I'm a little suspicious, because I'm trying to wonder if maybe...
All right. What medication is he on?
Well, why would he be lying?
Want to do it?
Well, you know what?
Really? You say that excuse for oral sex.
Yeah, but you know,
I got banged the bejesus out of you all night in the wheelbarrow, but I can't do the oral. That hurts my back.
I think she's getting this feeling that he's sort of avoidant because he's probably more focused on his opiates than on the sex. That's what.
True, okay. But can anybody have a back surgery trust?
Not that calls this show.
Okay. Is he doing the opiates, Melissa?
Okay,
there you go.
He dabbles in everything.
All right, magically I knew that.
Well, of course, I got back surgery, so your genius saying he's on painkillers? Of course he's on painkillers.
But the avoidant quality and the preoccupation, his love now is his drugs.
All right.
That's what he's into.
My mistress is the sea. What's the big deal? I mean, we all have our passions, Drew.
He was into it heavily before.
Yeah.
And it was never an issue because that's not my thing. I don't like that.
Yeah, but Melissa, you got it. He needs to be looked at by somebody who understands addictions.
Well, he's kind of, now he's into absinthe. And
abstinence?
Absinthe.
No, the drug.
Absinthe.
Yeah. Absinthe? Oh, so he's doing all kinds of stuff.
True. I got to tell you, absinthe. All right.
Absinthe is what she said. So
I understood it.
All right. Be that as it may. Look, Melissa, you've got a real problem on your hands here, and you've got to have to alert the doctors that you think there's a real serious addiction problem. And the fact that he's not available to you is merely because he's away into his disease. And until he comes back from that, he's not going to be available. You might want to look into some Narcanon in the meantime.
All right. That's what, Narcotics
Anonymous? People involved with those people.
All right. Well, good times. Yeah, I've learned from this show that anyone under 50 who gets a back surgery is just an opiate addict.
That calls this show.
That calls this show. Yeah. Actually, everyone is suspect. Even I hate to say it, even people that come on this show are suspect.
This guy right here is complaining about his back earlier.
Actually, my back's been hurting all day long.
Something you want to tell us?
Yeah. It's a hop head.
You stopped having sex? No. All right. So no problem.
My mom's listening, man.
Silk?
Yeah, hey, Adam. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey.
You're on with Adam and Jade of AFI. I got Silk and Jade.
All right. Well,
wow. Some PIs from the 70s or something.
I have two questions for AFI. And, well, first of all, you guys are great. And
thank you.
I look up to you when I want to write songs for my band. And
cool.
Yeah, anyways, my questions are if you're ever motivated by any other rock bands to help you write your great song lyrics and ideas or whatever.
It's not necessarily band so much, just really everything, the books you read and poetry and music, but bands, like The Cure and Guns N' Roses and old punk bands, everything. We listen to everything, a lot of electronic stuff.
That's cool. All right. And my second question is what you guys feel about people downloading your songs off the internet, because I don't want to take your hard work you guys have done for free. And
well, it's like people can't wait. I don't really blame them, but as long as they go by the record and they don't just be like, "All right, I already got it, so I'm not gonna spend my money on it." But
right.
It's understandable. That's here to stay, and to try to fight against it, it's just it's pointless.
Well, it's Silk.
Yeah,
I'm putting you on hold. All right, brother.
All right.
Yeah, this is something that was going on. I mean, it was big in the news 5 years ago. Like, this is going to destroy the record industry. Everyone's just going to get their hands on everything. No one's going to buy anything anymore. But people seem to make money. Bands tour. People get paid. I mean, maybe they're not getting paid what they should get paid. I don't know if they can definitively figure out what it is, you know, like if someone's not buying a record.
But it is destroying the music industry. Like,
it is.
Yeah. Record sales are down, I think, 33%. You know, that's a third from over the last, I think, 5 years. These numbers probably could be a little off. But, yeah, this is crazy crisis in the music industry right now over downloading. It's, like, destroying.
What about like concert tours and things like that? Because it seems to me like, okay, on one hand, they're ripping off your stuff. They're not paying you. They're taking it. On the other hand, word is spreading. Your music is getting out in places that maybe you wouldn't get to.
There's two sides to it. I mean, you know, people are downloading the record for free, but, you know, they have the opportunity to hear it and, you know, pass along their friends. So the band's being promoted.
I'd like to see where concert sales were as opposed to where record sales were, you know, from the last 5 years.
I just read an article actually about, you know, Clear Channel, which is the huge, you know, the concert promoter and everything else media-wise, but a lot of their big concerts, the ticket sales have really fallen off.
Really?
A lot of the big name concerts, which is, you know, that's odd too. I guess, I don't know, it might be just the way the economy's going. You know, people don't want to go out and spend $50 to go see a concert.
Or maybe they don't want to be in big rooms with lots of people.
That's true too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's interesting too that another thing that's, you know, happening as a result of this is labels are forced to sell the records a lot cheaper. Like a record that comes out nowadays, if they're a new artist, they can get it for $6.99 or something.
Oh, really?
Whereas like 2 or 3 years ago, the nice price is what they call it, was $9.99.
Well, I remember when they came out, you know, in the 80s, and it was like, well, CDs are $16 now, but they're gonna be like $4 in 10 years, and they just never seemed to really they didn't even really creep down too much. Yeah, pretty much flatlined.
Bring back cassettes.
Yeah.
Adam wants 8 tracks back.
I like 8-track. Actually, I'd like to bring back 6-track, a little known, even worse technology. Five and a half track.
There was a 6-track.
No, I just made that up. But you're sick, Drew, so you're vulnerable.
Yeah, I am.
All right, should we hear something from AFI? Do you want to take one more call?
One more call, then we're here.
Okay. All right. Ksenia?
Yeah, hi.
You're 14?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What's up?
My boyfriend is, he apparently has a multiple personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And he cheated on me, but he says that he, like, blacks out, and he was in another one of his personalities.
Adam, is this not the perfect alibi?
Yeah, that's convenient.
That's convenient. Take notes, gentlemen. This is it. We've discovered it.
Yeah, that was Rick Moranis.
And I just wonder, if he really wouldn't remember.
If he really, you know, people debate what the diagnosis of multiple personality disorder really is. But one thing I think that's pretty universally agreed upon is that there's a dissociative component to it, that people sort of fade out, they go away in some fashion, and they sort of, theoretically, another personality emerges. So, yeah, the person that you're relating to may, in fact, sort of dissociate and something else emerge.
I think, if not to develop, I mean, my plan is, because, you know, I plan on cheating soon myself, plan is, A, not to announce it on the radio. B, okay. But here's my plan. You know how the black athletes speak about themselves in the third person all the time? It's like Roy Jones Jr. does not take any man lightly and respects every man. But Roy,
George Foreman.
Yeah. Okay. Here's why I believe they do this, because ultimately down the road when they cheat and their wife approaches them, they're like, "You cheated. Roy Jones Jr. doesn't cheat." "Yes, you did." "Well, all right. It doesn't sound like the kind of thing he'd do. But I will talk to him when he comes back." And then they just come back. It's like, "Roy said he didn't do it, and I have to believe him." It'd be great. Then she'll divorce Roy, but it's never him. This is a good plan. But I think that's not going to work on a white guy. As big a celebrity as I could be, I still can say Adam Carolla, but I could start developing. I think the multi-personality is the white man's version of the third person.
I got it.
What's your radio alternate personality?
Oh.
Virgin?
No.
The other guy, the fast-talking guy. Yeah, Ace Rockola.
Ace Rockola.
He's blaming on Ace Rockola.
Yeah. That would go. Because
that's kind of his
well.
Lifestyle, you know, like the
He's
swinging
a swinger.
Guy.
You can't stop Ace.
He's out there on the town.
His public demands it.
I saw a Court TV thing when we were in North Carolina. It was about a guy who used this as a defense against murder.
His multiple personality.
Yeah.
When I was in college, they taught me that that was just a kind of a construct of the medical kind of community, like the multiple personality thing, and it had been debunked, kind of.
No.
You don't see it on guys too much.
It's more in women. I have witnessed it, and it is unbelievable when you see people shift one personality. It is wild.
Just talking about his wife.
Would I have noticed it? Because he, like, told me, but I never really noticed.
Well, listen, here's the thing. Did he ever have any serious trauma growing up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. I'm assuming maybe he was lying. Okay. What was his trauma?
He had, like, his parents were, like, screwed up. His dad's an alcoholic, and his parents are divorced, but his dad, like, lives on their couch or something.
But to get MPD, it's usually ritualistic, you know, severe trauma. Like, I don't want to divulge any confidences, but people being, you know, urinated on, defecated on, beaten, and strapped in the basement, and it kind of horrible. That was you to your buddies.
Yeah, well, they had it coming. Pee on me, I'm going to pee back. That's the way I play.
Sexual abuse, and usually at the
hands. You guys should know this, too.
Usually at the hands of caretakers.
You going to pee on us?
Pee on me. I'm coming back at you with urine. That's all I'm saying.
Usually at the hands of caretakers. And what is in question is exactly what this thing is. People really haven't figured out what this thing is we're observing. But this clearly is a syndrome.
All right. So
can I ask a little favor of Adam and Jade, please?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
My birthday's on Wednesday, and could you like wish me a happy birthday?
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I hope that your boyfriend's personality and your birthday is the nice one.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. All right. So look, 14... How old is he?
17.
All right. Forget it. Come on, baby. Really, you need this at 14? You need this kind of a source in your life?
I'm 15 on Wednesday.
Oh, all right. Well, you marry him then. Please.
Just be 15.
Wait, look. Can you imagine trying to deal with this guy?
At 15?
15 years old. I mean, come on. Multi-personality screwing around on you. He's 17. And as a guy, if he grew up with the alcoholic dad and he grew up in some chaos, this guy's probably out of control.
Yeah.
All right. It just, everybody, don't be scared to cut your losses. I mean, I think we do it a little too fast when it comes to therapy and education and jobs, but we don't do it fast enough when it comes to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know that part where you're ready just to walk out of your job because your manager gave you the stink eye, or after two rounds of therapy you decided the guy's a quack and you don't need this anymore?
Careful, though. Our callers, the relationships that they'll walk out on will be the ones they should stick with.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Why do you have to undermine my brilliant points?
I just want to...
He was building something there.
That's the NyQuil talking. I know it.
Building something beautiful.
I know. I'm sure I was going somewhere, yeah. And then he just pulled the carpet
out. But I needed to say that.
Okay, good times there, Drew.
What did I say?
Okay. All right. Drew's sick. AFI is in studio tonight. We will. We got Adam and Jade in here, and then we'll rotate the other guys in. They got to go do their opening or their release party out at Tower Records on Sunset real soon, so they're just going to stay for the first hour. But we'll hear something off the new CD. You queued up there, Anderson? Yep, this one's called Girls Not Gray.
Cool.
Much further down.
Wow, listen to that applause. It's amazing.
AFI is in studio tonight. Adam and Jade are both here.
Hello.
Davey and Hunter are going to come in. Well, I guess they got to leave at 11. Well, we'll do the swap midstream. Let the,
do it exactly at 10:30.
Yeah, let's be fair. Also, I wanted to give everyone a heads up that the new Crank Yankers are going Tuesday nights on Comedy Central.
And when do I get to do mine?
Crank Yanker.
Yeah, that's the puppet crank call show that all the world is buzzing about. Mm-hmm. So I want to give it's a new season, so I want to give the props out. That's Tuesday night, but a lot of the country's going to hear this show.
You're going to do one, Drew?
We did one.
Drew did one. Yeah, me and Drew did one.
Did a couple of them.
Yeah.
You were freestyling?
Yeah. When's it going to air?
Drew was freestyling.
Wow,
Drew, you asked me that 3 days ago.
I can't remember what you said.
I told you at the end of the season, because we did it fairly late in the run.
So, what's the end of the season mean? Like, May?
That bronchitis will have killed you long before it hits the air. But it'll be a fitting memorial.
Fair enough.
All right. We'll be back. Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. AFI is in studio tonight. Adam and Jade are both here.
Hello.
We'll bring in Davey and Hunter in about...
3 minutes.
Yeah. Now, does that work out?
What do you mean?
I mean, they're both in for 30 minutes, but does one of them get an extra break?
No.
Top of the hour thing? That's fair,
it's
right?
All good, yeah, it's all good.
All right, so we'll bring the other guys in 30 minutes. Sing the Sorrows, the name of the CD. It is coming out on Tuesday, but they're doing a big signing party tonight, midnight, at the Tower Records on Sunset. So if you want to get down there, you're in the L.A. area, and you want to get that CD, head on down. All right, so why don't we... you can also go to Fire Inside. There you go. Dot net, and you can get hold of the band that way and find out the schedule and all that kind of stuff. All right, let's take
one
call.
Yeah.
Leslie?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I wanted to ask AFI, you know the first week that they played your Girls Not Gay song on K-Rock?
Mm-hmm.
People were getting pissed off because they thought you were getting too much exposure. And they don't want to hear you with other... They don't want kids listening to you because they listen to pop music, punk, whatever. What did you guys think about that?
Well, it's always been the goal of the band to allow as many people as possible to hear our music. So, I mean, we're really comfortable with being on the radio and we're comfortable with the record we've made. So, we just want people to hear it.
It's understandable. I mean, I know bands that I'm the only one that knows about them, of the people that I know. You know, you're kind of jealous, and you want your band to be just yours. You don't want other people knowing about them. And it's understandable, but at the same time, if you play decent music, more and more people are going to find out, and it's just the natural progression of things for a band to get bigger.
Well, and also, you get your one band, but you spend the whole time, you like your one band, trying to talk your friends into listening to your one band, so it's ironic.
And then as soon as they do.
As soon as it gets picked up, essentially, a bunch of friends listen to it. Now, it's all of a sudden, they've sold out.
Exactly. People have been telling us that we've sold out for years and years. We had a song off our first record played on the radio like once or twice in San Francisco, and suddenly we were a big sellout. So you get used to it.
I know. Well, that's the trappings of getting anywhere near the punk title. It's like if anything happens, if you have a kid, get married, make some money, or sell a record, it's like, well, he's sold out.
Yeah, no longer punk.
Yeah.
Luckily, we haven't been too worried about that for a long time.
All right. So, are we ready to do the transfer? Because we have Davey and Hunter coming in here and swapping out for Adam and Jade. Guys, a delight meeting you.
It was
much thank you. Much too short.
But thank you.
Well, we'll see. We can still talk in the halls.
Okay.
I mean, it's cool.
But don't be angry if Adam pays no attention to you. He forgets your name.
Oh, come on, buddy.
No, but I'm just saying, but... By the time somebody walked out in the hall, we're like, "What's his name again?"
Drew. I know that's a cold medicine talking because that's not me.
Yeah,
you know how I am.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So now Davey and Hunter are here representing the band.
Hello.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Hi. Nice to meet you too.
thanks for coming in and visiting our show.
I was talking to Drew earlier. I was hoping to sit on your lap tonight, Adam.
Oh, see, there was confusion. We thought that it was the other Adam. We thought it was the band Adam that you were speaking of.
Oh, no. Adam was
just here.
Yeah. You.
If it was closer to Christmas, I think we could do it. Because then you have that sort of theme, you know?
Yeah.
I'll give you a little ride during the commercial.
Thank
though.
You. All right.
That seems fair, right?
All right. We'll keep it between us.
Yeah. Well, mazel tov to the band's success.
Thank you very much.
And it's quite an outpouring of enthusiasm around here. It's usually just a morgue around here at night. There's nobody around. The people that are here are angry and sleepy. And you have people waiting outside. Everyone's the studio's abuzz there. So,
nice
again,
that,
congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And again, they're going to be down at the Tower Records at midnight doing their signing on Sunset. So you guys just jump in. You know how it goes. Lindsay?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
I think I'm falling for a gay guy.
Yeah. Mm.
That's not good.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, that won't work.
Not much future in that.
Is he your friend?
Yes, I've known him for about 7, 8 years.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you had a crush on him?
For the last year. At first, I thought it was just, I don't know, a phase, because I'd be like, get the tingly feeling inside, and then it'd go away. It was just a friend, and then it'd come back. It was just all weird. And now it's like she's stuck forever.
Yeah. But to me, this means nothing else is going on for you. You know what I mean? There's not other guys around.
Well, actually, I do have a boyfriend right now, which is really don't happen.
Yeah. Really?
Not really helping.
And so you're not into this guy that you're with now?
You're 20. This is sort of 14-year-old behavior, isn't it? Lindsay?
No, not really.
Well, obviously she's going to argue with her, Drew.
She's 20.
Yeah. Let's see if she argues with this. This is the work of a genius, a gifted genius, right, Lindsay?
Right.
See that? See how easy it is? All right, so, Lindsay.
Yes.
Why don't you break up with your boyfriend? Because clearly you're not into him.
Right. I don't know. It's just...
Adam is right. That's first order.
Are you not into him?
Not really.
All right, then just end that. That's one sort of clear issue here.
Right.
Being into the gay guy, what's your goal there? It's never going
to
happen.
Does he claim to be bi? Is he ever bi?
No, not even close. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why.
So he's not even close. Is that intriguing to you that he's unavailable?
No, I don't know.
Okay, so you sound
just
confused.
Just no much.
All right?
What's that?
Okay. Obviously, she drifted off after Drew called her 14. Hey, Lindsay.
Yes.
Just go ahead. Don't have any kids, all right?
Oh, never planned on it.
Mm-hmm. You're never planning on it?
No.
What happened to you? What happened? Who's that? Your mom?
No, that's my cousin.
Oh. What'd your dad do to you?
Virgin.
Shut up.
Still a virgin?
Yeah, I'm still a virgin. Mm-hmm.
Much respect.
What happened?
I have no idea. Well,
where's your dad?
Actually, I think
please.
I hate guys.
Yeah. All right. Now there you go. Now we're getting somewhere.
All right.
It's my mom and my dad.
Right.
Have always fought. Only when I was around. It was always because of me. I was never good enough.
Oh, boy.
And my dad just, like, totally traumatized me.
Why? What'd he do?
I was always the bad person. Me and my sister couldn't fight. It was always me. I was the one always getting yelled at.
What did he do? Emotional abuse? Or did he hit you?
Very, very badly.
Physical abuse?
Emotional
abuse.
Right.
Very badly.
All right, well, that's enough.
Good times.
Yeah. The thing about outcome with emotional abuse is that has one of the most profound impacts on self-esteem. And so kids that have gone through that end up with really low self-esteem. Now, interestingly, most of the girls that get that go out and have a lot of sex with guys.
I know.
Maybe
she's a lesbian?
Yeah.
No, I think she just got soured on the whole sort of male-female experience.
Yeah.
It's freaked her out a little bit. Mm. So she's looking for a guy.
She doesn't like anybody. So she wants a guy that's unavailable.
Yeah, she can have no realistic chance of having a relationship with. But listen, I don't blame her because I was looking at a gay couple. I was out, where the hell was I? I was out to dinner or something the other night. And I was looking at this gay guy and he was glowing. And he must have been in his 40s, but it didn't look like he had pores, you know. Gay men look like they're
waxing.
Illuminated.
Great.
Because they're buffed. You know, it's like they use the exfoliating cream on there, and then they just hit themselves with a loofah, and they just look like the hood of a car that's been polished with carnauba wax, you know, and he's wearing a tank top, and he's all tan, and there's not a hair on him, he's all buff, and he's you could tell the guy was in his 40s, but he looked brand new, and it was like, I was like, guy's a nice piece of ass over there.
That's right.
You're in.
I kind of see what's going on. Yeah. And then we got the twin, you know, we got the dual income thing.
Oh, the lifestyle, forget it.
You know, the guy's probably a master chef. World traveler. Think coming up with all these elaborate fantasies.
Between
we're on a cruise. He's exfoliating in the bathroom for 22 hours. I'm on the deck sunning.
How about the design projects in your new house? Oh,
he's got some new stuff that's made out of apricot shells that he uses as a scrub. Eventually just scrubs his face off. There's just nothing but shiny bone.
He could probably fix you up pretty good.
Yeah.
Fix you up, up a little bit.
My eyebrows are a mess.
Oh, that's gone. Yeah.
I was going to say something like Eartha Kitt when he was done with my eyebrows.
You're so goddamn into oral sex that, what the hell? You won't even, what difference does it make to you?
The guy's prettier than any woman I've been with, has nicer pores. I just close my eyes, I lean back.
Oh, that famous position, the famous.
I would recline, I would receive oral.
Receive, that's what it is. Receiving.
I would let him wax and buff my face. I would let him style my hair. I'd have him in the kitchen.
Do you want to rethink me sitting on your lap right now? There might be the time
right
now.
And as far as the chick thing went, I think with time I could get past that.
You'd miss the boobs, but you could probably sort of find a way around that.
I think I could.
Because
here's what I'd do.
Where are the boobs when you're getting oral sex anyway?
I would put a flat screen on the TV, on the ceiling.
Yeah.
On the ceiling, and just run like a big boob video. He'd give me oral, and we'd be done.
That's it?
It'd be great.
My God. I'm scared what you've just invented.
No jewelry would ever be exchanged. You know what I mean? There'd be none of those crazy conversations. I had a huge argument with my wife tonight because she wouldn't go along with me on something that I got to go to the dentist tomorrow and get a tooth pulled. And I was like, I always go nuts because they make everything out of metal and they clank it in my mouth. And I said, there's nothing more annoying than metal, than a hollow metal tube, the one they're sucking my life out, you know, all the blood out and everything. Mm-hmm. It's whacking it against my teeth for an hour. And she goes, wouldn't bother me. I knew she was mad about something, but this was it, you know. And I said, what do you mean? Of course metal bothers you when you get hit in the teeth. She's like, no, not me.
Yeah, I don't get that either. I don't get that when the man.
All right, but here's what here's where the conversation went. So I said, listen, are you telling me that if someone took something metal and just was banging it on your teeth for an hour, it wouldn't bother you? Nope. Whoa. Nope, not at all. I said, are you nuts? And she said, no. And so she went to the kitchen. But this is a great argument.
Oh, man.
She comes to the kitchen. Go get a spoon. Get a spoon and bang it against your teeth and you see how it feels. So she comes back. She comes back with a butter knife. And she starts banging the butter knife against it. But it's flat, you know. And she's kind of just doing a flat thing. I said, oh, no. No, no. You go back and get a spoon. Go back and get a spoon and go bang that against your teeth. So she goes back. She gets a spoon. Now she's standing in front of me with a spoon, and she's going, gang, 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 gang. And then she's giving me, see? Not doing anything. I said, give me that spoon. So I take the spoon. And I said, see, it's not bothering you because you can control it. You give me the spoon. You let me do it. So she's standing there. That's 9:15. I'm in a towel. And I'm going, I'm taking a spoon. It's in my wife's mouth, and I'm banging it around. Ha-ha. Not so pleasant, is it, anymore? She goes, not bothering me. And so I'm hitting it a little harder on her team.
Oh,
she's like,
God.
Doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. And I realized, this is it. I got to go gay. This would never happen. We would have separate rooms. We wouldn't even be talking. You know what I'm saying?
Just wait till they're kids.
There's no way I'd be taking a spoon and banging inside my gay lover's mouth.
Oh, yeah. It'll just be your penis.
That's right. All right. I'm getting all heated up now. I'm getting excited. AFI's in the studio. We'll take a little break. Davey and Hunter are both here. We've done a little member exchange. Yeah. And we'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. AFI's in the studio tonight. Davey and Hunter are both here from the band because we did a little band switch out. Now, the band is only going to be here until the 11 o'clock hour because they have to go over to the tower on Sunset and sign the new CD.
Yes.
But we do appreciate you coming in here for the first
hour.
Thank
you
for
having us.
That's going to be a scene, I bet.
I think it'll be fun. We just did one earlier. Hello to all the kids who are there in Brea.
Yeah, there were
Thank you very much for coming.
700 kids?
Mm-hmm. 7, 8, something like that.
They do come out to those things.
They do. And they bring presents, very nice presents. Thank you for all the gifts and kind words. We have wonderful, wonderful, wonderful fans, by the way.
We saw them.
Drew, do you, like, when you were coming up, did Count Basie ever do a signing like when you were in high school, or Les Brown, or any of those? I mean, I guess, what's his name's plane went down in the war? What was that?
Glenn Miller.
So you probably would have caught him. Yeah. You're probably a little older when Glenn
was playing at the at ballroom in Boston. I caught him.
You're already in your 20s, so when Glenn was in
college,
his heyday.
Going to college.
Yeah. Okay. But do you remember this kind of stuff going down? No, seriously, though.
No, like this. Led Zeppelin did not show up.
And what about, like, Speedwagon or something like that?
No.
Don't remember any of that?
Do you?
How about who played your prom? Snotty Scotty and the Hankies?
Or I told you I was at a prom with
Van Halen.
Van Halen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David Lee Roth.
Yeah, I was giving blood at my kid's football team, blood drive, and I was lying in this room. I thought, I have been in this room. Oh my God! It was a room I was in 1973, 74.
Wow!
Van Halen was playing on this little crazy platform.
Wow!
Prom. Yeah. That's really cool.
And Drew, you knew at the time they were going to be big stars?
No, they sucked actually.
All right.
Do they have the flash pots? I read his autobiography and said they used to make their own pyrotechnics.
No pyrotechnics. Even before that,
an organ player. I remember that there was an organist.
Organ? Whoa. Like a Hammond or something?
Yeah, it was strange.
And
yeah.
Van Halen? You sure you're watching Van Halen?
Maybe. There was somebody else playing that night. I'm getting confused or something. Right. There's definitely Van Halen there.
I don't know.
No, they were there. Oh, you don't know if they had a keyboard, so.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's talk to Christy, who's 18. Christy?
Hi.
What's up?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay. I'm not sexually, like, I don't have, I'm still a virgin, but, like, I still, like, you know, have foreplay and stuff with guys and stuff, like, and I'm 18, and, like, I've been eaten out 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all by different guys.
I see. They just sort of tagged out, and the next guy came in, or?
No.
Oh, this is over the course of a couple evenings.
No, a couple of weeks. Like, oh, I'm a
couple
good,
weeks.
Okay. Yeah,
it's a long time.
I really want to save myself till marriage. So, like, I'm trying to be good, but, like, I can't help it because, you know, I'm human. I have emotions and feelings and urges and whatnot,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, so,
three different guys.
And then, what happened? Okay, so today it happened, and, like, past times, like, once, first time I read...
Today was number three, or was there a fourth guy?
Yeah, was number three.
Number three came in, all right.
Yeah, and the first time that happened, like, I totally read, like, went through my orgasm, like, totally had a good time. I was like, woof, right, that was good stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time, like, I was sort of confused, like, he told me it was his first time, but he went at it so quickly, I don't think it really was. But anyways, he didn't, like, it was sort of weird, like, he had no idea what he was doing.
Didn't work, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then today, like, really, really good, like, I'm totally, like, because I've had, like, a crush on this guy for a while, I'm like, you know, we're not going to be committed or anything, but we just decided we're just going to have friends, we're going to be friends, you know, with a little messing around and stuff.
Yeah.
Friends with benefits, yeah.
Right.
Not special all girls friends. Want commitment, just to let you guys know.
Yeah.
Christy wants lithium, but she doesn't want credit.
Sane ones do. So we'll get into what's wrong with you in a little bit. But was it the second guy was the guy you liked, or the third guy?
Today.
All right. So how did he do?
Awesome. Like, I was so impressed, right?
Really?
Yes. Very, very impressed. Nice. And then, like, I was like, because you know when, like, I'm going to the climax and, like, there's pressure and, like, I don't know if I peed. I don't know what happened, but, like, I got so nervous, like, I just, like, sort of stopped.
You stopped?
Yeah, like, I didn't want to do it anymore because I wasn't sure, like, I felt like if I was going to pee or something, I don't want to pee on him.
Oh, so
right.
Oh, so you felt like you were going to urinate.
Yeah, like, do girls urinate?
And, yes, there is such a thing. More than urinating, there's a fear or feeling of urination, but some women do have orgasmic incontinence, and some actually release a bunch of other fluids that's...
Hey, it would be fair to guys. For ages, we suffered with the fear of blowing wind during sex, yeah, and yet
for ages,
but you can't pee, right?
It's a dawn of man.
We were actually talking about this on the way down. I'm under the impression that there's a biological, like, safeguard when you have, like, a full erection.
You can't pee, right?
It's impossible.
I was always trained that you couldn't. I certainly can't overcome that myself. However, we have callers that claim they can do that.
You can do it, Adam.
I do it in the
like
morning.
Full on. No, not in the morning. No, it comes down a little bit in the morning by the time you get to the toilet.
We're talking about in action.
Get to the sink, but
whatever you want,
room.
You know,
when you're
corner of the room, couch.
I can't whiz in the toilet with a boner, but I can go in the sink.
When
no problem.
Put it to service, though, ain't nothing, no pee coming.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Right.
No. Hey, Christy?
Yeah.
What's your nationality?
I'm Asian.
Drew heard that. Very interesting.
I'm a what's it called? Exception to all Asians.
No. And then now you can start asking your questions.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying, Adam?
Yes. Okay.
So is that like? But I don't want to pee on him. Like.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hold on a second. Now, did you perform oral sex on him?
No, I never have, and like, I don't plan to because I think dick is so disgustingly ugly.
You think the penis is ugly?
Yes, I think it's hideous. Like, I'm really scared of it.
Mm. Hold on, we got an Asian Jew here. Never seen this mixture before. This is incredible. Wait, your mother's Asian, your father's Jewish?
No, I'm also Asian.
Wow. Interesting. And you'll not give this guy, you'll not reciprocate with the oral, even though you're very much enamored with him.
Mm-hmm. Like, I tell them I'm not going to do it. Like, that's fine.
All right. Now... We're gonna put a finer point on the Asian. We're saying Korean.
Yeah.
Drew knows.
How'd you know?
He can smell you. He knows a Korean.
Okay.
Yes, I like to think you are a South Korean.
Because I know the rebound against the intensely controlling parent.
Yeah.
And that's what this is.
The Korean families are pretty uptight with
no,
the kids.
Mom, I'm like the exception to everything. Like, I have the most weirdest family.
What do they do?
Well, I don't live with my parents. Like, ever since high school started, I haven't lived with my parents. I've been living with my sister.
Were they strict, your parents?
No, not at all. My mom's, like, one of the most, like, she trusts me more than anything. Like, right. I don't live
now,
with my dad.
I'm totally confused. But I was completely on board all the time.
I tell you, like, I'm the exception to every Korean family.
Wait, why don't you live with them?
Because my mom lives in Korea because that's where her work is.
Oh, boy.
She has a business over there, and I don't live with my dad because they're divorced. And I have a really crazy, effed up childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And
that might get that.
Relate to me being scared of the whole male Oregon and stuff.
Yeah. What was up? Oh, were you molested?
Yeah, and I rarely remember it, though.
Yeah. But it was enough to freak you out, so.
Yeah, it was like in second grade by my friend's grandpa.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Wow. And a round eye, non-Korean, as we call him?
He was Asian. I don't remember what.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
Old Asian guys doing
that. I know. They're sort of sick.
No. I would think if they'd be last on my list of the pedophiles.
No, you'd be surprised.
Oh, Christy pulls them out, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So, Christy, there's more going on here than just, hey, I don't want commitment, right?
I'm sorry?
There's more going on with you than just, hey, I don't want commitment.
Yeah, well, it's
I mean, you
like,
need arousal. You probably go to raves and you need all kinds of stuff.
All right, let's. Chris on a roll now with this Korean and his raves.
Well, but I mean, she leads out a lot of arousal.
Okay,
so manage those overwhelming
feelings. Here's the thing: she doesn't want to have sex. She got traumatized. You got to get some help for that trauma, and that's about it.
Family. I mean, God's sakes.
Otherwise, it's just sort of acting out, and you go through your life. You're scared of the penis.
She sounds bipolar. Blah, 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 you know.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about Asians. Either you can't pry a word out of them with a flat bar, you can't get them to shut up. There's no in-between with the Asians. They're auctioneers, or you can't choke them. You can give them a Heimlich to get a vowel out of them. I don't know what that is. It's either game on or game off with the Asians.
Game on with Christy.
I've explained this many times. It's either super, super reverent Asians that do all the bowing and everything, or it's the crazy guy with the squatted Acura and the funky hair.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the world I want to get into.
There's no in-between Asians. There's no middle ground with the Asians.
You said the same thing about the Israelis.
Israelis, super pussy or commando.
Green beret,
kill you with piano wire. Israeli, no middle ground. Jews, either. Am I right? Am I right? You got the guy who's like balding. He's an orthodontist, and his wife's brow beats him all day long. That's that Jew. That's the North American domestic Jew we have out here. True, well, your lineage, you know. And then there's the crazy Israeli commando Jew, super hairy forearm guy. Who knows how to kill. His name's like Avo, and he wants to explain how to kill guys with his thumbs.
Sounds like Yul Brynner when he talks.
And he explains that he did time in the Israeli army, and they trained to kill him with the hands. There's that guy. But there's not the in-between Jew, and there's not the in-between Asian. See, us white guys, we got the in-between guys. That's where we're flexible.
I'm pretty extreme myself.
Yeah, you're pretty extreme, but there are other Anglo versions who are just in-between.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not too edgy, just a little in-between. All right. All right, so everyone clear on that?
Take a break.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to say goodbye to AFI, too, because they got to go do the big signing down at Tower Records.
Guys,
it was a delight, and come back for an unabbreviated version of this anytime
love to.
You want.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
We'll be right back. Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
It is interesting how we can read voices, though, isn't it? You and I?
Mm. Drew knew
people,
Asian.
But people don't know what I was doing. Don't know why that you didn't mention what I had done.
Mm. Drew beat off during the break.
And that was very impressive. Mm-hmm. Band was moved.
All right. I didn't think he went. He told me not to say it on the air. I was a little surprised, but whatever. He did it. It's cool. I caught him. No big deal. World moves on, Drew. Let's just keep going with the show.
All right. No.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, was there something else you want to discuss? Oh, Drew, after our last call, wrote down Asian.
During the call.
Wrote down Asian and then wrote down Korean, but slid the paper over to me. I don't know. Drew, you're allowed to. You're not racist if you mention races, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's a little bit of the magician act, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
Quality to it. Mm.
Well, AFI has left the building. Record signing over at Tower on Sunset. Nice guys. Glad to meet them. I'm ironically finishing off chocolate and heading in to have a second tooth pulled tomorrow afternoon.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I thought all this work was to save teeth. Are they going to get another implant there too?
Yes, I will. Yes.
A pull and then an implant. Do you have an implant in place now?
No, I don't. Mm. I just have a metal post that is in there.
That is a euphemism for...
What?
Something. Let's see it. Yeah. It looks like some sort of...
It's big.
Yeah. It's a post. You'd think it was maybe a little screw sticking up.
No, it's 6 millimeters, yeah. Which is coming on to a quarter inch.
Mm.
And that's the same size hole they need to drill into my jaw in order to thread that post into.
And the next door tooth, huh?
Yeah. That is good times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to a new dentist this time, though.
What?
Yeah.
How many dentists have you been through now?
4 or 5.
Oh, my God.
Well, listen.
Where'd you find this one?
Well, this guy did my teeth whitening, and he's a good guy. He's expensive as hell. He's over there in, like, Beverly Hills. And he... this guy's got a horrible combination. He's a dentist whose number one hobby is photography.
Yeah.
His entire office is filled with before and after pictures. But I don't know if you've studied a lot of before dentist pictures. That's
pretty gruesome.
Gruesome in a book. Yeah. But when they're 24 by 32 and they're in full color and they're all over the goddamn office and you're just staring, it's like... I tell all the dentists with the charts, the before and afters, the pictures, the schematics, the diagrams. Like, listen... We don't like teeth. Do you understand? I don't want to be here. What's with all the pictures? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, look, I want to see pictures of goddamn trees and Bengal tigers and Smurfs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see a bunch of people with effed up teeth. I don't share your love of teeth. That's what I want to say to you.
And really, mouths never look worse than in a photograph. You know, with the spreaders and stuff.
You can't even tell.
You can't tell it's a mouth,
you don't
really.
See the person's nose or anything. You just see the whole goddamn mouth. Yeah. And the befores are like, you have to avert your gaze. It's like, speaking of gaze, it's like looking at gay porn. I mean, the before, I mean, there's guys who came here from different countries and stuff. Where there's, you know, no fluoride in the water. Yeah. Yellow and stuff's crooked and there's weird saliva. And the guy just ate a churro or something. It's a mess. And I'm just standing there thinking about my own pain and my own teeth. And I'm staring at nothing but mouth. It's like, I want to get something else going in there. I love the guys that are in love with their profession. It always makes me a little nervous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, this guy's good. And this guy, you know, he did that thing where... dentists are like everybody else. They're like every carpenter I knew would come into a house that they were supposed to work on, and they'd look around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
What happened here? Well, the last guy, yeah. Guess he went with a butt joint. Not a big fan of the rabbit or the dado. Interesting. Yeah, see what he did here? Yeah, he should have went with a cope. Instead, he went with a 90 on that.
Oh,
I wouldn't have done it that way. You know, this is what everyone does. Everyone beats up everyone else's work. So this guy's looking into my mouth, and of course, it's the work of everyone but him. And he's like, what happened here? It's like, all right, come on. Oh, yeah, not good. So he's doing this whole thing. And he's like, you need to come in here, and we need to take care of this tooth. We need to take these out. We need to rework this. And I'm like, listen, answer me this. You got that thing that sprays water in people's mouth, right? He goes, yep. Yeah. I go, you got a heater on it? He goes, no, I don't. I go, you don't have a heater on it? And he goes, nope. And he goes, is there even such a device to heat this water? And I said, oh, yes. Oh, yes, there is. I've done a little research from, you know, my constant complaining makes me an expert in almost everything. And he's like, well, I'll tell you what. If I get those heaters installed, will you come over here? And I said, all right, you got a deal. So he had the heaters installed with that water. That
Oh, my God.
Well, why do I need cold mountain water sprayed on my sensitive teeth?
I think you and him were separated at birth or something.
He's a businessman. I'm just saying.
How badly does he need to redo your one tooth? He's got images all over his office of all the stuff.
He's got like $5,000 worth of work to do in my mouth.
All right.
Stupid heater probably cost him $180.
But what I like is he looks at you and says, that's a good idea. I should do it anyway.
Yes. Yeah, when your mouth is back and everything's shot up and sore and they're just spraying that cold water all over your teeth,
that shows
it hurts.
Interesting ability to get through inertia. You know what I mean? When you're doing your thing every day, just doing it the way you do it, it's pretty remarkable to be able to make a change, boom, like that.
Well, I don't blame people for not necessarily implementing or knowing things. Oh, yeah, actually, I do every day. But I really blame them for going, is that a fact?
Yeah.
And let's move on.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, my last dentist is like, oh, yeah, they got those. They got those. Been out for a while now.
That's a great idea.
And I'm like, and where are they? He's like, yeah, I don't get them. Mm. And so he never got them, so there's it. Screw it. Hey, so everyone should do this. Go to the people that do what you want.
Yeah.
I can have nice hot water sprayed on my teeth tomorrow when I'm writhing in pain.
Is he giving you nitrous?
He's giving me nitrous and like a shot in the ass or something.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I told him, look, here's what I want.
I want a tape recorder going. You've got to get a microphone in there.
I told him I wanted to be darted. I told him that when I get out of my car in the parking lot, I want one of your employees to actually hit me with a blowgun in the neck. And then tag me like a rhino, just drag me into the office and work on me. I don't even want to know. And then I'm just going to wake up slumped over my steering wheel back of my car with my mouth fixed. Maybe it'll be a couple hours later. Maybe it'll be a couple days later. I don't care.
And there'll be a scar in your back where they took your kidney, man?
Oh, yeah, he's going to give me a shot or a pill or something.
Yeah.
This is why I'm not going to my other dentist, too, because I'm like... He was like, oh, you got that post in your mouth. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, whew, that's tough, you know. Because they cut through the gum and they drill a hole in your bone.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. And he goes, did you give you a sedative or shot or anything? I'm like, no, he didn't. And he's like, oh, wow.
Well, no, who's going to actually make the tooth for the one that's a post now?
Man, let them fight over it. Here's my point. I was like, yeah, why didn't the guy give me a pill or a sedative or something? He said, oh, I don't know. That's tough. And I was like, this son of a bitch.
So interesting how you evaluate their work. Hot water, sedation. Nothing else matters. It's just interesting.
Well, my mouth's open for a goddamn hour while these guys wreak havoc in it. I want to be sedated.
Yeah, right.
Is there something wrong with that?
No, I'm not passing judgment on it. No.
I got the a-holes that are trying to talk me out of nitrous every time.
All right.
Hey, how about the nitrous, Doc? Mom, you don't need it. Yeah, I do. Yeah, we had a 9-year-old girl in here the other day. She didn't... Yeah. I want it!
Yeah, you flap your lips like that for 5 minutes, and they're like, Mr. Kroll, come right over here, please. Turn the gas on, honey.
Arguing with me over the goddamn nitrous. Bring it on!
Hillary 14.
How dare you?
Hi. I was wondering if I should get... By the way, I love you guys. I listen to you all every night.
Thanks, baby doll.
I was wondering if I should get therapy for when I was in 7th grade, I think that was, when I was like 12, I was molested.
What happened?
I was vacationing in Mexico, and I...
Enough said. Enough said.
And I was walking back to the hotel, and this guy just ran up behind me and touched me.
Yeah, it's... unless something had happened to you when you were younger that sort of re-triggered some old post-traumatic stress feelings... It's hard to make much of that. I mean,
did she say 12?
Yeah.
So it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And what do you mean ran up behind you and just touched you?
Well, I was walking back to the hotel, and he was just standing there, and so I walked past him, and he just ran up behind me and grabbed me and started touching me.
Just like copping a feel as fast as he could?
Yeah.
And then he let you go?
Yeah.
And how long did that go on for?
Like, I think it was like less than a minute, but I was like kicking and screaming and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's a little traumatizing.
It's traumatizing.
But it doesn't... I wouldn't say you were sexually molested.
Right. It's traumatic and it's unpleasant, but if it's to the point where you're still like having sleep problems and mood disturbances, that suggests that you've been traumatized when you were younger, and this sort of re-triggered some of those feelings.
Okay.
Anything happen when you were a little child?
No.
All right.
Are you depressed or anything else going on?
Not really.
Is this thing bothering you all the time?
Not really.
All right. Well,
now wait a minute. What do you mean? I mean, you must have thought it was something important for you.
Well, it's just sometimes it just scares me so much that I can't even move. It just like freaks me out.
All right. See, that freezing thing suggested something else happened that sort of indoctrinated that kind of biology into your system. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think anything else happened. It's just I don't like. I'm not comfortable around guys. They just bother me.
Yeah, we like that about you.
How's your dad doing?
They should bother you right now.
My dad's great. I love my dad.
Okay. All right. Look,
if you
fine,
if you
then.
Want treatment, sure, by all means, I look into it. But it doesn't sound, nothing jumps out at
me. Well, I mean, I think you could be treated for almost like post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, that's
somebody
what she's describing.
Assaulted you. I wouldn't. And there is an emphasis on the sexual assault, though it wouldn't be traditional.
No,
there's for that.
Yes, there's no doubt that these are post-traumatic stress type symptoms. But the fact that something is sort of, you know, really, when a classic post-traumatic stress disorder, you have to feel that your life is in danger. That's sort of a classic description of it. And a guy comes up and gooses you. It's like, yeah, it's unpleasant. It makes you feel out of control and powerless. But you don't really feel like your capacity, your possibility of going on being is being threatened.
Yeah.
Unless you were traumatized in some funny way when you were very, very young, and this sort of just brought that all back.
All right. Well, also, people mature at different times. There's 14-year-olds that are call this show every night that think they're 25,
yeah.
And they're 14-year-olds who are a little slower in their progression sexually.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the opposite sex, that's fine.
It's good.
Yeah, just hang back. Loves her dad. They go to Mexico.
Yeah. From Seattle.
Beth?
Yes?
You're 21?
Yes.
He must be an airline pilot.
Hmm?
Hang on a second. I want to know that.
What, her dad?
Yeah.
Look, who are you, Kreskin all of a sudden?
I just, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Hillary?
Hillary, you there? No, she's not.
All right, the world may never know.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Trying to
think the farthest I ever got with my parents. I think I went to, I made out to Northridge with my dad.
Wow,
once.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. It's all the way on the other side of the valley. Beth?
Yes?
You're 21?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I have a question. About a year and 4 months ago, my fiancé died. And since then...
What happened?
He got in a car accident.
Mm.
Wow.
I'm in the Marine Reserves, and I was away in training.
What were the circumstances of this car accident?
It was just bad weather.
Just bad weather.
Bad weather, and he hit some water on the highway that we lived on, and hydroplaned, and it kicked the car sideways, and before the car ended up dying, and before he had a chance to get out of the other lane, he was T-boned.
Oh.
And he died instantly. Him and a really good friend of ours were both in the car.
Oh.
And
someone else was in the car?
Yes, another friend of mine.
How did they do?
He died instantly, too.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, someone was going full speed when they hit him, huh?
Well, the speed on the road they were on is 50 miles an hour.
Mm.
So. Yeah, yeah.
It's been going 75, though.
All right. Wow.
All right.
Yeah. Sad.
But my question is, since then, I have had other relationships, and one in particular, I was with him for a good while. We got together about 4 months after my fiancé died.
Sure.
And it's like, with him, I cannot complete the orgasm. I get all the way up to it, and right as it's about to happen, just nothing.
What do you feel?
Like, frustration, because it really sucks that I can't get off.
Are you on medication?
No.
You're like angry about it.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just like, you know, well, after a while it's gotten to me, but it's like when I've like had just, you know, flings with somebody, I'm able to get off, but with him,
the closeness.
Oh,
I could not.
Well, your fiance was tragically taken away. You feel this bond with this new guy.
It's scary.
You don't want to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's understandable, right?
That's how women work. Like some kind of crazy cuckoo clock.
Yeah,
but it makes sense.
Okay.
All right. So what it is like. You can't give him your orgasm because you can't be that intimate with him because of what you've had taken away from you so recently.
Yeah.
It
just kind
makes
of stay,
sense,
stay
right?
with it. Hang in there. I'm sure this will happen. How does he respond to you?
Not too well, considering we just recently broke up.
Oh, all right. Well,
yeah, we had some issues, and that was kind of one of the leading intos. he took it as it was his fault.
What else were there? What other issues were there? Yeah, I wonder if this is just a guy you shouldn't be having an orgasm with.
He was a guy that was really good for me because he was the friend that was there for me through my fiance's death.
Oh, yeah, but listen, that just means he was waiting around for you.
To pick up the pieces. Yeah. First piece he picks up is the vagina.
Right.
Yeah, but it was different, though.
No.
He did express to me he was interested in me.
Of course.
I pick up the vagina first, then I pick up the left boob, then I pick up the anus. And then I go for the right boob. The mouth. Yeah. Jeez, I got to work on the pieces. Yeah. When I'm there to pick up.
Yeah, the guy that's there to cry on your shoulder, for your shoulder to, provides you a shoulder to cry on, that is a guy just waiting for you to be vulnerable. Yeah. I understand as a woman, you don't understand that for you, a vulnerable guy is like, yuck.
I do understand. I have six older brothers.
Yeah. A lot of guys try to bend you right over that casket.
Mm-hmm.
That's your move.
He waited. He did not pursue anything at all.
On a closed casket, yeah.
I understand. Yeah, I see. Patient. Okay. Patient is...
Okay, well, but you broke up with this guy, and seems like you're going to stay broken up with him?
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right. Well, then it's water under the bridge, they say.
But the thing with me was, I didn't know.
All right, well, you didn't... You've been through some trauma... And you felt intimacy with this guy, and you didn't want to give it up.
Yeah,
that's what we think.
Yeah, I think the guy may have been kind of dangerous to be with anyway, so.
Whatever it was, your instincts were probably good. You're 21. You've had a crazy year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a breather. Mm. Maybe don't be in a relationship for 6 months. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk to Tiffany, 17. Tiffany?
Yeah?
What's up, girl?
Okay, I was dating this boy
for
6 months, and that was 6 months ago that we were dating.
Yeah.
And we never kissed or anything.
How long were you dating for?
For 6 months.
I thought you said 6 months ago they were dating.
And we were dating for 6 months.
For 6 months, all right.
And it was sort of frustrating because he wouldn't kiss me, and I didn't know why. And so, finally I just ended up breaking up with him.
You didn't ask him why?
I asked him, and he's all, well, it's just my own problem.
Well, he never tried to kiss you, or after you had established it, he wasn't much for kissing?
No, anyway.
He never kissed?
Never.
Ever.
And I was all, oh, my gosh.
So you're dating for 6 months, and he never kissed you?
Never.
And what? Did he do anything else?
All we did was hold hands and hug. That's it.
All right.
It was pretty boring. And
anal.
Just hugging, holding hands, cornholing, and that was all.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
And then but lately I've started to like him again.
Sure, what's not to like?
I've decided that I'm going to kiss him.
Okay.
All right, good.
But I don't know how to do it, if I should tell him that I'm going to, or if I should just...
No.
Yeah, you got to grab him and kiss him.
Well, now, but he said he had reasons why he didn't kiss.
Maybe one of the reasons is he can't initiate. Because, can't do it.
I guess he was, really nervous about it, and he thought I was going to be all no, don't kiss me or something. I was thinking in my head, why would I think that?
Yeah. If a girl's going out, okay, thank you. Let's talk to guys for a second. If a girl has agreed to go out with you and be with you, now, there's two scenarios where they don't want you to kiss them. One is it's like a blind date or first date, and it's not going too good. And the girl's thinking, please, no kiss at the end of the date, because there will not be a second date.
Right.
But I can't make myself disappear. We're halfway into the meal. I don't even want to be here. The other one is I hope this guy doesn't think this is a date. I told him he could swing by because he said he rides his mountain bike by my house. And I told him I didn't care if he stopped by and took a look at the architecture or something, but this is not a date. I hope he doesn't think it's a date. But if you eliminate those two things, meaning you guys are dating and you've been on multiple dates, a woman wants you to kiss her.
Yeah.
And wants you to do it in fast order.
Yeah.
And so guys got to do this. And you can't think about it. You can't intellectualize it too much. Am I right, Drew?
Yeah.
It's got to be more of an animal process.
I'm just wondering what's the matter with that guy.
Mm.
If he just really lacks the capacity to initiate.
Maybe he's super spazzy.
Yeah.
You know how guys are.
Yeah.
They get uptight. It's a mess, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So, guys, just go. Just make a move. And then don't discuss it. And don't worry. Your mouth will know what to do. It's like taking a crap. It really is. It's real. It's like, you know, crapping in someone's mouth. It's just, it's easy. It's no big deal at all. Oh, Anderson wants to take a break. Well, hold on a second.
Jonathan first.
Jonathan?
Yeah.
You want to know if it's ethical to go to strip clubs? Girls usually were abused.
Right.
This is interesting.
First of all, let me tell you, Adam and Dr. Drew, I love you guys. I try and listen to you every night.
Thanks, Jonathan.
I've actually been listening for a long time. I don't know, to the tune of about 15 years or
something. Wow, good use to the good use of the word, the phrase.
Well, I listen to you, Adam. You know, I try and weave it into my daily conversation.
Oh, my God, no.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was back when it was just on Sunday night with...
Whoa, wow. Yeah, that is the tune of 15 years.
Yeah, I'm a longtime fan.
Hey, I used to listen to the show when it was just on Sunday night, too.
Right, yeah. Okay. Actually, Adam, you had made some comments about Asians and Jews and Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually Asian and Jewish, and I lived in Israel for a couple years.
Holy mackerel.
But I wanted to say you're right on the mark. I'd laugh out loud when I hear you make them.
Thank you. See, other people criticize me for my racial insensitivity, but...
No, it's not. I think there's a difference. One can be...
Not too.
One can be mean and hateful.
Not Jaime Ho over here. He knows. All right, well, hold on a second, Jonathan. Yes, as you know, I love all races.
Yeah, no, but I think that there's a difference. One can be mean and spiteful and hateful and racist comments.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there are just comments about people that fall into certain groups.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, I really... And we got to go to break. We're going to talk to you when we come back. But, you know, to me, there's sort of differences.
That are interesting.
Well, there's many dogs, and there's many different breeds of dogs, and they all Chihuahuas are a little bit different than Labradors. You know why pointing that out makes you a dog hater?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Thank you.
Because every...
Although those Chihuahuas, Adam, I mean...
Because the huge mistake that everyone makes is, well, it's because every human is unique and different.
Now, BS. There's really just a few different categories and difference in cultures and races.
Every human is a unique person, but we all follow a set of rules and principles. And
right. Except for publicists. Yeah, those are horrible, horrible people.
Here we go.
All right.
Hi, this is Alec Baldwin, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, who was that? Alec Baldwin? Put my headphones on.
That was. Yep.
We'll get him back. He's really addicted to this show. He calls me on my cell phone and tells me he tapes the show.
Huh.
Well, actually, tells me his driver tapes the show, and then they sit in the car and listen to it.
Oh, funny.
So, hold on.
Do you own a ranch in Ojai?
Alec, if you're sitting in your car right now.
Honk your horn.
With your driver, and you're listening to a tape of the show, I want you to honk the horn. That's good, Drew. All right. And if anyone else hears a horn honking...
That's Alec Baldwin.
Now, it's a tape of the show, so it could be any time.
Yeah, whenever you hear a horn, that could be Alec Baldwin.
Could be Saturday at noon.
Well, he'd be being driven.
That's right.
So it'd be, you wouldn't see him in the driver's seat.
That's right.
My buddy's working on a film with him right now. He's got some great stories. I'll tell you guys at the break.
All right. This ought to be good. So let's...
back to Jonathan.
Yeah, back to Jonathan. And when we left off, we're speaking to Jonathan about the ethicalness of the ethicality. Would that be it, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Of going to strip clubs knowing that the women that you're looking at were probably victims of some form of abuse at some point.
Right?
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah. How do you overcome it, Jonathan?
Well, I usually don't go to strip clubs. I've only gone a couple times for bachelor parties, that type of thing. But I come away feeling kind of dirty.
Well, the world, we could be gay, but the world is filled with this kind of stuff. Like, for instance, a lot of countries we disagree with, whose politics we disagree with, for instance, China. But half the stuff you buy when you go to the markets from China.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You are a customer of systems.
China's using, let's say, exploited labor to build the products that they ship to the U.S. that we readily buy.
Here's the more complicated thing I think about the strip bar thing, and it's really hard to reconcile. That is that the women who do this do it willingly. They don't want to be rescued by anybody.
Yeah.
You're taking away their livelihood by not going.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are reinforcing their traumas and participating in their acting out.
Right.
But it's up to them to want to change that.
Yeah. And listen, they just have some crappy receptionist job and their boss would be effing them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's a bit of a specious argument.
It absolutely is. I totally agree with you. But it's an interesting sort of argument path to go down because ultimately you end up saying, well, maybe these options shouldn't be out there for them. And that's really the only way you can kind of contain these impulses. But that's not going to happen.
Well, I'm not advocating that we should pass laws closing them. I think you make a good point that they're consenting adults and no one's putting a gun to their head and forcing them to do that. My question is more for the guys, especially, you know, night after night, Adam, you make comments about when the girls get diddled that they turn out to be strippers.
Yeah, they do.
And by going to the strip club, I think you are in a certain way facilitating.
You're participating with them in the trauma.
In a certain degree, I mean, I agree with Drew on one hand, which is you're helping paying their bills, even if they're buying Coke and Tab. I don't mean Coke, the soft drink. I mean 8 balls and Tab with your money.
But you mean Tab?
Yeah, I do mean Tab. Yeah, diet soda and 8 balls. But these people are going to do something anyway, and this still doesn't make them not a victim. I mean, if their uncle molested them when they were 5 and they didn't go into stripping, they instead became secretaries. It still doesn't take away what happened in the past.
So really the question is what I'm suggesting is it becomes how do you encourage people who've been traumatized to do things that make them better rather than...
Well, clearly what they need is what you guys are advocating is therapy. Yeah. But dancing on a stage isn't going to...
No. But listen, Jonathan, here's how you make your peace. You decide where your line is.
Oh, I've already decided for myself, Adam, but I just was curious if you had any...
Well,
I find it very, very sad.
Here's my
places.
Thing. So sad he beats off in the cab on the way home when we're in Canada.
In fact, you know, maybe you don't know this. They all been to all these places for a bachelor party before we knew each other. And I ended up...
Drew went to a strip club?
Yeah, I ended up having, discussions. I hearing all about their cervical cancers and their this and their that. I mean, you know, it was hard not to, I know you don't like to see them as human beings.
Mental note. mental note. Kill Drew. There we go. Okay, look, here's the thing. Here's my line. I like to go to the topless places because the bottomless places, they get a little skanky. And chicks were definitely abused over there.
Mm.
Topless means they don't like their dad, but doesn't mean they're sexually abused or physically abused. All right? That's number one. Number two, if you're going to a bachelor party and they get a couple of chicks with the double-ended dildo and they're going to do this whole thing with the whipped cream and everything, sometimes that gets a little weird because it's like, all right, these people were clearly exploited.
Oh, my God.
And all that kind of stuff. Drew, stop pretending like it doesn't exist.
I've never witnessed that. I've never witnessed that.
All right, shut up. All right, so stick with the topless places. Get good and juiced. It helps your conscience. And tip the ladies. They appreciate it. So where are we, Drew? Are you going to pick Cole? Drew acting surprised about what goes on at a bachelor party.
I've never seen that. No.
You're telling me there's two young ladies who engage in a sensual act in the suite of... Kimberly?
Yeah.
You're feeling guilty, aren't you?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I was just wondering, I went through a lot of crap when I was younger, sexually,
mm-hmm.
and, my grandfather was, textbook sex addicted.
Mm-hmm.
My father was too.
Grandfather was?
Yes. He raped my aunt. My father raped and molested me.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a long period where I didn't want anyone to touch me.
Sure.
So he raped your father's sister.
And that and his daughter.
Yes.
Well, he raped his daughter.
And his son.
No, his son raped her.
Yeah.
But I don't think... Grandpa didn't rape...
Grandfather raped his daughter.
Oh, but the grandpa didn't rape dad.
No.
Ah, so what's the beef?
So, my beef is... I decided I was going to bust through all the crap and not let him control my life.
Who?
Made out with the first guy I saw. And now I can't help it. I get the shakes at night, if I go a week without anything.
Oh, okay. And where's your dad and your grandfather now?
My dad is in Seattle, and my grandfather, who knows where.
And what if you don't know what state your grandfather's in?
No.
And what are they doing, or what's your dad doing in Seattle?
He lives up there. And
lives up there. Well, let me write this down.
What's my dad doing in Israel?
Lives up there. All right.
So my question was, is it genetic? Because I can't even breathe sometimes.
All right, have you gotten any therapy?
I went like twice and.
Yeah. No. Kimberly, this you need to go somewhere that's used to treating sexual addicted individuals. And you need a whole program. This is not sit down with an individual therapist kind of thing. This is a multiple discipline team that needs to descend upon you. And it needs to do it for quite some time if this is going to get better. And whether or not it's passed genetically, well, certainly the predisposition for addiction is passed genetically.
Yeah.
But
the sexual addiction that you think you have is just caused by the trauma.
That's the environment. And people do get withdrawals. They get, it can behave just like a true pharmacologic addiction. And that's in Kimberly's textbook as well.
All right. And I just pray that somebody just put a 44 under Grandpa's chin and just put his brains on the wall behind him. I really do. It's just, I can't stand the fact that these guys are sort of going about their lives after this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Especially Grandpa. Listen, I want to give a quick plea. All you pedophiles out there and all you guys are going to do the molesting and the raping and all this kind of stuff. It's in your blood. It's haunting you. You hear that little voice in your head telling you to do it. Now let me put a little voice in your head. Put a shotgun in your mouth and blow your head off. Would you please? It'll silence the voice. You'll go out with a little dignity and no one will get hurt.
Unfortunately.
Please do that.
As enticing a...
Yeah. What a utopia.
Solution as that is, it really is kind of irresponsible because these people do kill themselves. They do destroy themselves to try to silence these impulses. And, and there are treatments out there. People would just take advantage of them.
All right. Well, look, I'll give you a choice, Ed. You get some treatment or you blow your head off.
And really, again, remember that the source of this is from the same tender injuries that Kimberly had.
Sad. Very sad. But I also do believe that... we have the ability to make decisions, and we're not reptiles, and
well,
we do not have to turn.
It turns out there's something called effortful control.
Yes.
It's mediated by a particular part of your brain called the anterior cingulate gyrus.
That's the part I want the shotgun to get.
And if people don't have normal development, that part of the brain doesn't develop, and they can't contain these things. The brain isn't there to do it.
Then the shotgun therapy comes in. You can't do it. It's not there. Drew, you're making a great argument for my shotgun therapy. Mm-hmm. One session doesn't last 50 minutes, and it's free.
This is your population-based solutions.
Yes, please. Yeah. Please. Everybody's thinking about doing something heinous to somebody else. Kill themselves. Test it on yourself. Thank you. Can't beat a good riff, can you? Queens of the Stone Age, everybody. Alrighty. Paul Rodriguez is going to be in here tomorrow night. He is the Asian comedian. No, Hispanic. Hey! That's right. Paul's going to be in here.
We had him up before. Were you here when he was here before?
I must have.
Did we have him before?
I don't know if I was in here when he was here.
Maybe I'm confusing him with somebody else.
Yeah.
All right.
You're thinking of when Freddie Prinze was in here in 1977.
Could be.
Ooh, there's a guy who killed himself.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
And they know Freddie Prinze Jr., but they don't know that the senior killed himself when he was, he was like 22 or something.
Mm.
I mean, he wasn't.
Young.
Someone can get on the computer and tell me, but, I mean, you think of... your Jim Morrisons and your Jimi Hendrix of the world is sort of dying young at 28, 29 kind of thing.
Yeah.
He was more in the 22, 23 range.
Really? Oof.
Yeah. Had a big show. It was like Mr. Charisma.
Yeah.
He was very popular, good looking. It's crazy. All right. Let's talk to Siobhan.
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was hoping that you guys could help me out with something. I'm trying to figure out what could possibly be wrong with me. Why every relationship I'm in just kind of like goes to crap.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's figure it out.
Like, every relationship I've ever been in, like, basically they either beat the crap out of me or they like to cheat on me.
All right, so where did you first get involved with an abusive male? Very first.
Oh, that was like when I was younger.
How old?
I don't know, maybe like 5 or something. I can't really like remember like
5.
Ages.
Who was abusive that? When you were 5?
My first stepdad.
Mm. Oh, well, yeah. There it is.
Physical abuse?
Huh? Yeah.
Where was your biological dad?
Doing his own thing somewhere.
All right.
Who was it? Your stepdad a drug addict too?
I think he was, but I'm not sure. Like, he had this like little secret kind of life or whatever.
Hmm. All right. Well, that's enough. Your dad abandoned you, and your stepfather was physically abusive.
Yeah, and then whenever I meet someone and they're actually nice, kind of like perfect, there's just, I don't know. Like, the last relationship I was in, he said that he didn't know what he wanted. Like, everything was fine and perfect.
And he didn't know what he wanted?
Yeah, all of a sudden he just said he didn't know what he wanted, and I was like, what?
All right, hold on. I'm putting her on hold because she has such a horrible phone line. Yeah. It does seem like about 80% of the people call the show have a horrible phone line.
Yeah.
Is that possible in this day and age?
It sure seems like it.
True. You have a phone at home.
Yeah.
Yes?
It's good.
You use it to call people that aren't in your house?
Yep.
Is ever what you ever saying to people like, let me call you back, we got a bad line, or I can't understand you?
No.
But what's going on? I mean, do poor people or dumb people or abused people, do they have bad phone lines? Like, does the phone company give them horrible lines to
maybe
insult
need to
them
pay
further?
Attention to this. Maybe the kind of phone line we'll start noticing has some correlation with people's condition.
True, and I like prisoners in this room have to figure out ways to entertain ourselves.
I was reminding you that when we were doing Dawson's Creek, you and I spent all hours talking about TV theme songs.
We're just getting bored.
I mean, for God's sakes.
All right, so listen, Siobhan, you got abused. So this is what's going on. So you need to, I don't think she's going to work out the relationship in the relationship at this point.
No.
What I mean is I think she should go without.
Right.
Don't try to fix it in the relationship.
Yeah, she needs to be out of a relationship for a while and sort of just not be with a guy.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that most relationships, people in their teens and 20s, are perfect for a while, and then they end. Mm-hmm. But the Siobhan, when they end, it's like, it's a catastrophe.
Right.
I could never have another relationship again. It's, you know, and so it goes back to the abusive guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is all the meaning and the trauma of being in a vulnerable relationship.
Yeah. And it's one of these things where in life you kind of understand it, where if you were a boxer and things weren't going good for you, you don't need more fights. You need to go to the gym.
Right.
You need to fix it in the gym. That's right. And then when you fix it, then you get back in the ring.
That's right.
And look at the ring as your relationship.
Okay.
And look at the gym as a therapist.
Yep.
And you just need to fix this on your own. And it means you got to not have a fight for 6 months.
Yep.
Fine. Freddie Prinze died at 23.
Oh, my goodness.
Younger than you remember, right?
Yeah. Well, because I was 12 or something.
Yeah, he was like...
Yeah.
I remember at the time, like, Freddie Prinze, he shot himself. I was like, he was old enough. I mean, he lived a rich life. He'd been around.
Yeah, I was like, what's the big deal?
For Christ's sake, he had a mustache. I mean, that was what I was thinking. No, I know where I was. I know, I remember hearing the news.
Mm.
I was in the 7th grade, I believe.
Mm.
So you were a little bit older than 12.
Yeah. Well,
you must have been 15, in high school.
Like, yeah.
Oh.
15, 16?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're, how old are you? You're 6 years older than me or 5 years?
You're, how old are you? 38, 39.
38.
6 years.
6 years. Your birthday's in what month?
In September.
All right. So, September. What the hell? Okay. Here's the point. 6 years older than me.
Yeah.
I was in the 7th grade. I was like 13.
I was 12. 7th grade. Anyway, yeah.
You were in college.
Right.
All right.
Okay. No, I could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like I was
younger. Not a big fan.
It seemed like
not
I was
not a big fan of Chico.
Is it?
Here's my point. Freddie Prinze Jr. No, not Freddie Prinze. Freddie Prinze, when he killed himself.
Was young.
was young, and he was only like 4 years older than you. I know that sounds weird.
Yeah, it sounds weird.
All right, find out the year, Ann, and then we'll do the math. Alana, 5 years at the most.
What was the year?
77.
So I was, yeah, just in college.
In college.
Yeah.
All right, see, I have to tell Drew what happened in his life.
Elena.
Oh, okay, hold on a second. How do you spell Elena?
E-L-E-N-A.
Okay. Elena. E-L-E-N-A. Elena.
All right.
There we go.
Yeah, don't give me that crap, Brian, with the Elena with a Y and an A and an L. What the hell is that?
All right. Elena, what's up?
Me and my boyfriend have been going out, going on and off for the past, like, 3 years. The only reason is because of the group we hang out doesn't like us going out, but they don't mind us being friends. And
we've already lost me. What do you mean the group?
It's got to do with Freddie Prince.
What do you mean the group doesn't like you going out? Who cares?
I don't know what the problem is, but they do just about anything to separate us.
Why?
They don't mind us being friends.
Why?
What group?
A group we are best friends and stuff.
What's the problem they're having?
I have no idea.
What do they tell you the problem is?
They don't tell us anything.
So how do you know they're trying to break you up?
Because they're always, like, dissing us when we're together.
What do you mean dissing you?
What do they tell you?
What do they tell you?
They hate us together.
No. All right, listen, I don't care. This is not some kind of Tiger Beat hotline. Who cares?
Well, I would be willing to address it, but you won't even tell us what they're...
Oh, look, who cares? I can't stand teenagers anymore, Drew. Look, if people are giving you a hard time because you want to be with your boyfriend, then don't hang out with them. This is... Okay, here's what I'm saying, Drew. If you have a situation with somebody and you can't avoid it, your boss at work is doing something to you, yeah, or a school teacher or something, parent, whatever, that's something we can talk about.
Yeah.
But if it's a situation where you don't need to be with this person, you don't need to be in this environment,
yeah,
and you're going to complain about it, don't be in that environment.
All right. Here's that's a Freddie Prince call here.
All right.
Four.
Laura?
Yeah.
You're 23.
Yes.
What's up?
I was just wondering why Fred Prince had killed himself.
I'm not sure people, it's Laura's age, knew there was a Freddie Prince.
I didn't.
You didn't know there was a Freddie Prince Senior, huh?
Nope.
You just knew the Junior, huh?
Interesting.
Correct.
You must have done the math at some point, but you figured the guy was still alive and enjoying his son's success,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the orthodontist in Wisconsin somewhere.
Yeah. That's right. Well, Freddie Prince was this sort of charismatic Latino comedian who got started when he was like 17, like doing stand-up and stuff like that. He was on a successful show by the time he was like 19 or 20.
Was that Chico and the Man then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was a Golden Girl.
No, I thought maybe it was something in between when he got going.
No. That's not enough. You're 19. You're on a
big sitcom. That's the one I remember. All right.
Okay. Calm down over there, Drew. You're really agitated today. Okay, so he's on this show, and he's real successful, and the show's going good, and he's making money, and he's working a ton, and doing all that bad Latino comedy where they make fun of themselves, but then they're really proud, and has a gun around the house. And this is when you're depressed, and you also don't mind a little drink every once in a while, and a pill every once in a while, and you got a gun around. This is really what happens. This is really my problem with the guns, because a couple of Ativans, couple of scotches, and Brian's song comes on the TV at 2:30 in the morning. It's like, okay, get the gun out. Or I see the guy in the question mark suit, just trying to give my money away. You have $15,000 to read a novel. All right, then the gun goes in the mouth. You see, so basically. It wasn't like the guy, or at least...
There was a lot of... I remember a lot of speculation.
There's speculation of whether he was screwing around, that he'd done stuff, he'd handled guns before, sort of irresponsibly, had a few
suicide.
Cocktails.
Yeah, there was substance involved and depression.
Right, but there's sort of... We can all agree that there's sort of suicide and suicide.
Yeah, this was an impulsive act.
He would have taken it back the next day sober.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's permanent. We'll be back.
Thank you.
can go back and join this song. Because it's not you two. That's right. It's Coldplay. We love Coldplay.
Yeah.
All right, Westwood One, I'll tell you, this place is on top of their game. They got a whole new cork board in the back by the sink with all the postings. Big sign. The lawyers are forced us to put up a bunch of signs everywhere about equal employment and all stuff. They got a big sign for the minimum wage. The minimum wage is like $4.56, and I'm like, geez, that seems a little light. I thought it was up around $8-$9, and it's like for 1996. So I don't know if it's just wishful thinking. It's not a bad thing. Just put the minimum, because the minimum wage is real in bold print. And then the 96, you got to really get up. You got to get them. Only Westwood One would put these mandatory post-its up for it's we're coming on what, 7-8 years old with the minimum wage. They got that up on the goddamn wall. The retardism of this place never ceases to amaze me. All right, so I want to thank AFI for coming in. Sweet kids.
Nice guys, yeah.
So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Get a spoon and bang it inside my gay lover's mouth.
Oh, yeah. It'll just be your penis.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.